Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I don't know about you, but I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Psalm 122 tells us this: I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Pneuma Church, I was glad when my wife Vanya said to me, darling, let's go to the house of the Lord. Hey? I was glad when my eldest son Noah said to me, dad, let's go to the house of the Lord. Come on. I was glad when my youngest son said to me, dad, let's go to the house of the Lord. Hey? Somebody say amen in this place. I was glad when the Westies said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Come on, everybody say amen. Come on, give God some praise. I'm glad to be here. Last week, we were at the Grampians. Watch out. We were at the Grampians. Anybody been to the Grampians before? Awesome. We went on a couple of hikes. Who loves hiking? Roxy. Oh, there you go. Went on a couple of hikes. Found out I'm not as fit as I used to be, church. Uh-oh. Gained a few kilos. More than 20. Too much information. Went on a couple of hikes. But we got there. We finished. We saw some amazing views. We saw some beautiful waterfalls. Who loves seeing waterfalls? Amazing. I really enjoyed it. And after leaving the Grampians, I told Vanya, I'm a hiker now. Call me a hiker. Call me a mountaineer. Because I climb mountains. Come on. We only did two hikes, by the way. One of them was only 15 minutes, but hey. Well, again, it's a start. Amen? It's a start. Hey, I'm so excited to share the word. We're gonna get into the word now. Now, the word I'll be preaching from, the text that I'll be preaching from, comes from John chapter 15, verse 1 to 9. Turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 1 to 9. It's a well-known word. It's a well-known text. And this word has stretched me. How many of us have been stretched by the word before? Yeah. Hey? This word has provoked me in a positive way. But this word has also inspired me. And my prayer this morning, church, is that as we unpack this text together, that it'll have the same impact on you. Is that okay? And so I'm reading from the ESV version, John chapter 15, verse 1 to 9. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Who's Jesus? The true vine. Who's God the Father? The vine dresser. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Everybody say, bear fruit. That it may bear more fruit. Everybody say, more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Who's Jesus again? The vine. Who are we? The branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that that bears much fruit. Everybody say much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. I want to speak to you today, church, from the title of Bear Fruit, More Fruit, Much Fruit. bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's time to be fruitful. Who wants to live a fruitful life?
Come on.
Come on. Now, there's a lot in this text, and in all honesty, I don't think I can do it justice in the time that we have, but I do want to unpack and share a few pointers from this text that I believe that will help us in our walk with God. Hey, how many of us want to walk better with God today? I know I do, church. And to understand a little bit more of John chapter 15, Jesus in this text is nearing his death. Okay. The time is coming for him to go on the cross and die for the sins of the world. Not just the sins of the people at that time, but for the people in this time, the present time, in our time. So you can imagine, church, Jesus' soul was deeply troubled because he knew what was coming. The time was coming for him to be the Lamb of the world. Jesus said it himself in John chapter 12, verse 27. This is Jesus speaking, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. And so understanding all this, he also knew that this was his last day spending time with his disciples physically. We know the story. He's coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. He has this triumphant entry. The crowd is waving their branches. They're crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." There's even a song about it. I don't know if you guys know it. Hosanna. Hey? Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. And. And so you can say that in this text, this is the beginning of his farewell tour. Okay? And in this farewell tour, he's given a farewell message. He begins in John chapter 12 by telling his listeners that he came to save the world. Jesus tells his disciples that he came to save the world. How good is that, church? And in John chapter 13, during the Last Supper, he washes the feet of his disciples. He gives his disciples a lesson on leadership 301. John chapter 13, verse 14, 17 says this, "Now I, Jesus speaking, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet. You should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very, very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger is greater than the one who sent him." And so in other words, Jesus is teaching that biblical leadership is servant leadership. And if Jesus himself is willing to go low, humble himself, serve and wash the feet of his disciples, then we as leaders are not exempt from serving. We're not above serving, church. If Jesus served, then we too should serve. Then towards the end of the chapter, Jesus gives a command to his disciples to love one another. To love one another. John 13, starting from verse 34, says this, "A new command I give you," says Jesus, "love one another. As I loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Huh. You know, the biggest indicators of a true follower of Christ is one who carries the spirit of love. Can I encourage us what Jesus commanded us here? Church, can we be people who love one another? Can Numa Church, Melbourne West, be known for carrying the love of God? Is that okay? Come on. And in John chapter 14, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Although the time is coming that Jesus won't be with them physically, he will not leave them as orphans. But instead, the Heavenly Father will send to them the Holy Spirit to help them, to guide them, to lead them, to dwell with them, to be in them. John 14, verse 16 says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you, and he'll be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. And then after this, they leave from supper, and John 15, Jesus gives his last I am statements. Going to read the main scripture again. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 9, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is the one that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branch is gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And so today, Pneuma Church, I want to share with you on living a fruitful life. A life that bears fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Show of hands again, how many of us want to live a fruitful life? Come on. I know I do. I know for me, I desire to live a fruitful life in every aspect of my life. In my marriage, in my family, in my ministry. And I want to encourage us, church, that God, as the vine dresser, also desires for us to live a fruitful life. Let that be an encouragement to you. God, the gardener, God, the vine dresser, God, the Father, desires you to live a fruitful life. And all the gardeners that I've met, including my father-in-law, I've never met a gardener that wants their plants to fail. I never met a gardener that wants their plants to fail. And so God the Father desires for us to live a fruitful life. Amen? Amen. In John chapter 15, Jesus tells us the requirements to live a fruitful life. And so if we want to be people, church, who bears fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, we got to be people, firstly, who abide in Christ. We got to be people who abide in Christ. John chapter 15 verse 4 to 5 says this, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. A fruitful life begins with living an abiding life. A fruitful life begins with living an abiding life. You know, the word abide in the Greek is the word meno. Everybody say meno. Which simply means to remain, to continue, to live. And so to abide in Christ means to live in him. It means to remain in him and to continue doing so. To live a life of prayer, to live a life of reading God's word, to live a life of worship, church. Huh. And in this text, Jesus is calling us to a life of relationship, a life of intimacy with him, a life of connection, because to abide in him means also to be in relationship with him. If we want to live a spiritually fruitful life, church, it begins with connecting ourselves to the source of life. Yeah. If we want to live a spiritually fruitful life, it begins with connecting ourselves to the source of life. Jesus Christ, the true vine. The true vine. It begins with ourselves connecting to the source of life, because we cannot produce fruit on our own, church. We cannot produce fruit on our own strength. I've never seen a fruit branch go like this. My father-in-law, he's got like a mini farm in his backyard. He's got apples, all sorts of plants, all sorts of fruit trees. And I've never seen none of them go, bear an apple. Hey? No. It simply connects. It simply connects. And naturally, in due season, church, it will bear fruit. It produces fruit. Jesus says, from apart from me, you can do nothing. And so in other words, fruitfulness is not produced through striving or performance, but it's the result of abiding. Fruitfulness is not produced through striving or performance, but it is the result of abiding. And so what does it look like to abide in Christ? What does it look like to remain in Christ, to live in Christ, to be in Christ? Well, one of the indicators is that we live a life obedient to His command. Got to live an obedient life to Jesus. John chapter 15 verse 10 says this, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as the Father has kept my commandments and abide in His love." 1 John chapter 3 verse 24 says this, "Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God." Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God and God in him. By this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. And so obedience is tied closely to abiding. Not only that, but living in abiding life means also to follow the example of Jesus. Not only we are to obey Jesus, but we are to follow the examples of Jesus. 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 says this, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. The NIV version says it like this, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Wow. Hey? Anyone claiming to abide in Christ should walk or live as Jesus lived. One of the articles I read says this, a believer in Jesus lives like Jesus. How good is that? A believer in Jesus lives like Jesus. 1 John chapter 3 verse 6 says this, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. Sorry, I move forward. So a believer in Jesus lives like Jesus. Not only that, but the more we abide in him, the more we should become like him. Living an abiding life means also to live on a repentant life. A life away from sin. So we not only be obedient to Jesus, not only we follow the examples of Jesus, but we also live a repentant life. A life away from sin. 1 John chapter 3 verse 6 says this, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has neither seen him or know him. The NLT version says this, anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. And what John is saying, it's not saying that we have to be perfect straight away, church. I know some of these scriptures can be, you know, confronting. It's not saying that we have to be perfect straight away. It's not saying that the moment we say yes to Jesus, we should live a sin-free life. That's the goal, that we should live a life of purity, that we should live a life of integrity, that we should live a life of consecration, that we should live a life of setting apart. But what John is talking about is us being a child of God, pursuing righteousness and repentance and not sin and lawlessness. Just because we have been saved by grace, it does not give us the permission to keep on sinning. Yeah. That's what John is saying here in this book. Grace didn't free us to sin. Grace freed us from sin. John is saying if we truly are people who abide in Christ, then we should be people who seek to live a righteous life. If we truly are people who abide in Christ, then we should be people who seek to live a righteous life. And lastly, abiding in Christ means to be full of His Spirit. To be full of His Spirit. 1 John 4:13 says this, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." The NLT version says it like this, "And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us." How can we abide in Jesus, church, if He's not physically there? Well, the answer is through the Holy Spirit. So good. That's why Paul tells us in Galatians that if we are to live a fruitful life, we must be in step with the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit, we know what it is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with His passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Abiding in Christ means to live a life connected to Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Is this helping anybody? Abiding in Christ means to live a life connected to Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Church, I want to ask us a question. Who are you connected to? Who are you connected to? Have you been striving? Or have you been abiding? If someone was to look at your life, will they see the fruit of the Spirit, or will they see the works of the flesh? Wow. Hello. I want to encourage us, church. Let's be people who abide in the true vine. Amen? Amen? Let's be people who abide in the true vine. Come on. Jesus is not asking. Come on. Jesus is not asking, try harder. He's not. He's saying, remain in me. He's saying, abide in me. That's what He's saying. Because if we remain in Him, if we abide in Him, fruit becomes the natural result. And so I want to encourage us. Maybe we have disconnected ourselves from the vine. Come on. Am I talking to somebody? Maybe we got too busy with the things of the world. Come on, can I be real in this place? Maybe we got discouraged with our season, with our past season and our past circumstance. Let me encourage you, come back to the true vine. Come on, come back to the true vine. Come back to prayer. Come on, somebody. Come back to the Word of God. Come back to worship. Come back to His presence. Come on. And as we do that, let your life bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Everybody say? Amen. Amen. Not only that, but Jesus not only calls us to abide in Him, but if we are to live a fruitful life, one that bears fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, not only we are to abide in the true vine, but secondly, we must be pruned by the vine dresser. We must be pruned by the vine dresser. John chapter 15, verse 2 says this, "Every branch in me does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit." You know, in horticulture, pruning is a practice in which branches are cut from a plant. It's done because it promotes growth and it improves its health. Okay? So pruning is a good thing for plants. And so spiritual pruning is the same thing, in which the Father, the vine dresser, removes the things from our lives, things that causes spiritual hindrance, things that causes a stumbling block in our lives, in order for us to bear more fruit. In order for us to spiritually grow. In order for us to live more like Christ. And so pruning is really a process of discipline, in which God molds us into becoming more like Christ. Why? Because He disciplines those who He loves. He disciplines those who He loves. Hebrews 12 verse 6 says this, "For the Lord disciplines the one He loves." And in Proverbs 3:11 says this, "My son, do not despise the chastening or discipline of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." And so God lovingly prunes and disciplines those who are already bearing fruit, not because He's against us, church, but because He has more for us. Right. He has more for us to bear fruit, to bear more fruit, to bear much fruit. You know, in the KJV version of this text, they use the word purge it instead of prune, where we get the word purge from. And the word in Greek is called katharo. Everybody say katharo. And katharo simply means to cleanse filth, to cleanse impurity. And so when God prunes us, when the vine dresser prunes us, He's cleansing off the things in our life that is filthy and impure. He's cutting them off in our lives. Not for punishment, but for purification. Hey? Sometimes God removes sinful habits in our lives. Certain distractions, complacency, pride, unhealthy relationships, misplaced priorities. He removes all these things. Maybe for some of us, God is removing idols in our lives. Now, how many of us know when God prunes us, it stings? Hey? No one likes getting rebuked. No one likes getting corrected. It cuts. How many of us know when God disciplines us, it's a little bit painful? Hey? Noah and Elijah don't like it when I discipline them. Hey? But Hebrews 12:11 says this, no discipline seems pleasant at a time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. How good is that? One of the commentaries I read from John Trapp, he says this, but vines must be dressed, supported, sheltered, pruned every day almost, loped so they must be ever and anon, lest the juice be spent on leaves. And if it be painful to bleed, it is worse to wither. Listen to this one. Better be pruned to grow than cut up to burn. Better be pruned to grow than cut up to burn. Yeah. Numa Church, I want to ask us the question, which area in your life is God pruning? What are some things He's asking you to let go of? What are some things in our lives that we need to repent of? I want to encourage us, although pruning is never pleasant, Numa Church, it is purposeful. Yes, I want to encourage us, don't resist the pruning. Don't resist the pruning. Sometimes the greatest season of growth comes after the greatest season of cutting. Wow. Hey? Sometimes the greatest season of growth comes after the greatest season of cutting. So what do we know so far, if I can get the band to come up? We know that God wants us to live a fruitful life. Yeah. Be encouraged by that. Yeah. He's the gardener. He's the vine dresser. He desires you to live a fruitful life. He desires you to live a life that bears fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. We know that in order to bear fruit, it requires us to abide in the true vine. We know that as we bear fruit, we must allow the vine dresser to prune us in order to bear more fruit. And so as we continue to abide in Christ, as we continue to abide in the true vine and allow the Father, allow the vine dresser to prune us, we bear much fruit. And bearing much fruit, church, brings glory to God. Brings glory to God. John chapter 15, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. See, fruit was never about us. It was never about our reputation. It was always about giving God glory, church. Come on. A commentary from David Guzik says this, the purpose of bearing fruit is to bring glory to God, not the disciple. A branch that bears much fruit brings honor to the one who cared for the vine. And a disciple who bears much fruit in a spiritual sense brings honor to God. Church, if we're to call ourselves a disciples of God, our fruit must be an evidence of that. Because a good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Matthew 17, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And so if we continue to remain in Christ, if we continue to live a life of consecration, continue to live a life of sanctification, if we continue to let the Lord prune us, if we continue to let the Lord shape us and mold us, not only we bear much fruit, but we bear good fruit that reflects the character of Christ. And as we produce this fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not only we prove to be Jesus' disciples, but with our fruit, we see the Father glorified. I want to encourage us, church, let our fruitfulness bring glory to the Father. Amen. Let our fruitfulness bring glory to the Father. Let it point towards God. Let our lives bring glory to God. Let our lives, let our whole being be about giving God glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, so whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And so church, as we bear fruit, as we bear more fruit, as we bear much fruit, give glory to God. Let every aspect of your life bring glory to God, church. Give Him your whole life. Give Him your whole devotion. Give Him your whole worship. Give Him all the glory. Why? Because He deserves it, church. He's worthy of it all, church. He's worthy of praise. Come on, somebody. He's worthy of worship. He's worthy of honor. And He's worthy of all the glory, church. He's worthy of all the glory. There's a statement that Vanya made that marked me. She says, Lord, let all that I am be all about You. Lord, let all that I am be all about You. Let all that I am bring You glory. I want to share with you a quote from Westminster Assembly. It says this, a man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. A man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Psalm 115 verse 1 tells us, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name we give glory. For the sake of Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. Church, we give glory because of His steadfast love. We give glory for His faithfulness. Give glory because what? He's God. He's worthy of it all. He deserves it all. Let our lives bring glory to Him. Amen. Why don't we stand? Lastly, not only Jesus in this text, church, calls us to a life of abiding, a life of pruning, but in verse 9, He calls us to abide in His love. John 15 verse 9 says this, just as the Father has loved Me, so I have loved you. Remain in My love. It's never been about producing fruit. It's always been about remaining in Jesus. Church, will you choose to abide in the love of Christ today? Will you allow the love of God to enter your life today? God loves you, church. Jesus loves you. His love is unconditional. His love is extravagant. His love is steadfast. His love is great. His love is everlasting. Pastor Dave said it earlier. His love is agape. It knows no bounds. So I want to ask you today, will you receive the love of God today? Will you remain in His love today, church? Thank You, Jesus. And as me and the team lead us in worship, we're just going to open the altar. And church, I'd love for us to respond in God's love with a declaration that says, Lord, I want to remain in Your love. And so we're just going to open the altar. And I want to encourage you, if that's you today who says, oh Lord, I just want to abide in You. that's you today that says, Lord, I want to be cleansed of the things that's hindering me. I want to be pruned by you, Lord. If that's you today that's saying, Lord, I just want to remain in your love today. I want to abide in your love. Won't you just come forward as the team worship us? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.